talked about the identity crisis for men, but it's just as much as an identity crisis for women. As we escape the tyranny of biology, if you like, you know, they're now talking about the male contraceptive. Men can be responsible for controlling the fertility of themselves and their relationships with women. We've got all of these kinds of bizarre things where you know, women can now have children when they're past 60, due to you know, medical interventions. There are all kinds of developments taking place in reproductive technologies, aren't there? I wonder how long it's going to be before we get into cloning and that sort of thing. And what kind of an impact are these kind of things going to have on traditional families and their expectations? So, you know, we're living through a period of very rapid change in which all of these things are going to have a big impact on families and children. So power relations within the family are now quite different. They're utterly transformed to what they used to be a few generations ago. We've had women's liberation. We have many marriages of same-sex couples who are raising children here in the West. I know that I think it's Vice President Cheney, is it, in America? His daughter is in a lesbian relationship with children. Just to choose one example from, you know, the public sphere over there. But it's increasingly common throughout the West that you have same-sex marriages. Then they can adopt children and raise them in those kinds of ways. So, you know, power relations within the family are transformed in part because of that. The relationship between men and women in traditional families is breaking down as women assert their right to equal rights, equal power. We have this massive increase in divorce rates, a decline in marriage. You've got statistics about these on the handout that I gave you to look at, about the number of divorces that now occur in the UK as against the number of marriages. Probably one in every two marriages will end in divorce within 10 to 12 years now. it's kind of curious, maybe going full circle, that now before people get married, they have to go into some kind of economic contract and make a prenuptial agreement to decide what, you know, what they can afford to share with their marriage partners, whereas in centuries gone by, everything that a woman brought with her into the marriage would automatically belong to the man. But hey, that's no longer the case. So these are profound changes, I'm sure you will agree. Are they changes that are happening in your own societies? Are they changes that are being demanded in your own societies? Do they want easier divorce? Do women want equality with men? Are they being allowed to develop that equality with men? If so, what impact is that going to have on the kinds of family life that develops there? Will it become like the Western family, which you could argue is in serious decline? So we've got these shifting sexual identities. It's now almost got to the point in the West where you can choose your sexual identity. It's no longer something which is biologically determined. Came across this marvellous phrase last year for the first time, called a metrosexual. Metrosexual is somebody, usually a man, but who shares many characteristics of being a woman. They can be in relationships with other men sometimes, you know, so they can be bisexual. This is something that's increasingly common amongst young people in urban environments, that they experiment with their sexual identities. And it's something which is not exactly approved of by the media, but certainly the media has a massive interest in it, and it sells lots of, you know, papers and television programs. Just look at the kind of popularity of these characters on Big Brother. Any of you watch Big Brother? So you'd be very familiar with the kind of thing that I'm talking about. Then you'd probably be more familiar with it than I am. So this shifting boundaries of sexual identities is another result of the crisis of the family and the fact that it's no longer fulfilling the many traditional roles that it used to. And it'd be interesting for you to debate whether or not these changes are good or bad and whether they are inevitable. Okay. I really got to draw these comments to a close now. So, very quickly, this is really the... Whoops, that was too quickly. The end of the lecture. Just these final 2 points. I said at the beginning that what is happening to the family is of major concern to policymakers from the United Nations down to regional governments like the European Union, as well as to national governments, okay? Because everybody recognises that the family, which for so many generations, for countless generations, has been the main unit of social organisation, is fragmenting, it's disintegrating, it's transforming under our eyes. The pace of this change has really accelerated over the last 30 to 40 years, okay? And it's massive, and I hope I've demonstrated to you this morning that it is a very profound change. So policymakers are really focused on the family because they need to develop policies which are going to encourage families somehow to be the shock absorbers of this change, to be the ones that deal with the change. Because, you know, if you don't get it right at the family level, where are you going to make it right? So it would be an interesting discussion for you to have about what kinds of policies you think could be applied to encourage families, if you think families are a good thing, or to replace families, if you think families aren't such a good thing. And then, finally, to leave you to ask yourselves, really, what will be the pattern of family development in the future? Will it be, as I hope I've made clear to you this morning, along the lines of Western development, or do you think that in the communities and cultures that you've come from, that there will be different paths into the future, and that you won't have to go through this kind of Western crisis of the family, which I've spent a large part of this morning talking to you about? Okay? Anyway, that's the end of my lecture. So thank you very much. I think you've been a very attentive audience. Thank you.